Hello, you are listening to the Modern Web Podcast, where we explore next generation frameworks, standards, and techniques. I'm Tracy Lee at Lady Lee on Twitter, and you can find us online at modern-web.org. Hello and welcome to this episode of the Modern Web Podcast. We are very excited today to have three amazing people. With me will be Stephen Fluin, who is on the Angular core team and will be interviewing Uri and Alex. Alex is a senior software engineer at Netflix and working on some really cool projects and doing a lot of cool stuff related to the OpenBCI project and Angular 2 and a bunch of other fun things. Uri Shaked is a Google developer advocate, and he's been doing a lot of really amazing things with IoT and Angular. And I think one thing that gets me the most excited about what you guys are doing, Alex and Uri, is that you guys are doing just things that I think people haven't thought about before and really paving the way. I know, Uri, for example, when I Google IoT, you are basically all of the Google search results. And also excited that Alex and Uri are both speakers at NG Cruise, which is coming up in May. So, Stephen, I know you're probably like the deepest in obviously what's going on with the Angular team and seeing the cool things that Alex and Uri are doing. I'll let you start asking questions.
Sure, definitely. So before we jump in, I know a little bit about what each of you are doing, but maybe for everyone else who is listening, why don't you each give kind of a brief introduction to the project that you've been working on. So let's start with Alex, actually.
Well, first off, thank you for having us. I'm very excited to be here. And I'll be happy to tell you about what I'm calling Near JavaScript. So Near JavaScript is a combination of multiple things, but amongst them, there is the data visualization part, the neuroscience aspect of it, and with data science, it comes also like things like machine learning. It also includes isomorphic JavaScript and the use of web technologies. So Near JavaScript is all about being able to learn more about the human brain in general while using technologies that web developers are familiar with. With that said, we've been successful at capturing and visualizing brainwaves with OpenBCI, which is a open source brain computer interface created in Brooklyn, New York. And I'm very excited about being talking about this at NG Cruise because this is the next step of from visualizing brainwaves to actually running behavioral experiments based on brain-computer interfaces, JavaScript, and of course, Angular.
Awesome. That was a great introduction. And we'll definitely get into that into a second. Uri, how about you do an introduction?
So, hi, everybody. First of all, thank you, Alex. It's really exciting to learn what you are doing. Like, I know you are also speaking on NG Cruise, and I really look forward to your session. Now I know what it's going to be about, and it really sounds exciting. As for what I'm doing, I'm working with Internet of Things, or to be more specific, with connected hardware. So my goal is to explore new ways to connect everyday devices and make them smarter with other devices and to get them on the internet online. And more specifically, I'm working with standards like Web Bluetooth and the physical web and trying to bring the community closer and see how they can take advantage of those standards and their knowledge they already have in JavaScript and Angular to connect devices and make the Internet of Things not just another cliche, but a thing.
Absolutely, definitely. So we heard a little bit about both Alex and your project and or your project. And I think both of you really depend on the Web Bluetooth APIs, which are kind of an emerging standard that aren't necessarily yet in all of the browsers. Do you want to talk a little bit about how that's been challenging or how it's been helpful to have these standards? Alex, why don't you get started?
Yeah, sure. So Web Bluetooth is one of the many, what I'm calling connectors, available in order to interact with a brain-computer interface. Currently, I'm not using Web Bluetooth. We're basing our connection between Wi-Fi and the serial port being accessed with Node. But I know that Yuri is really deep into Web Bluetooth. I remember seeing him making a little robot dance last year at ngConf. So Yuri, why don't you tell us a little bit more about Web Bluetooth?
Yeah, so as Alex said, Web Bluetooth is just one of the many ways you can connect your app to anything, basically. And nowadays, when you have NWGS, Electron, Ionic, and native script, you can actually take advantage of some of the standards that have not made their way to the web yet. But right now, what we do have on the web is Web Bluetooth and partially Web USB. I think it's also in the latest Chrome Canary. And Web Bluetooth basically allows you to connect to any Bluetooth low energy device in your vicinity and just interact with it the same way native apps get these abilities. So Alex mentioned one of my projects, which is Purple Eye, the dancing robot. And using Web Bluetooth, I am able to connect to that robot from an Angular app or any other kind of web page and simply start controlling it, interacting with it, and receiving data from its sensors.
Okay. And so when you use the Web Bluetooth APIs, you mentioned that they were just landing in Chrome Canary. Do you feel like they're stable enough for everyday use, or are you really on the kind of bleeding edge of things right now?
So that's a great question, because actually Web USB is the one that is in Chrome Canary. Web Bluetooth is going GA in Chrome 56, which I believe has just been released or is just about to be released. It doesn't yet work on all platforms. In general, it works on OS X 10.10 and newer, and Android and Chrome OS out of the box, Android 6 and latest Chrome OS. But then it doesn't work yet on Windows and on iOS. And on Linux, you can set it up, but the user needs to tinker with the operating system settings. So I would say it's definitely usable, not for everybody, but if you are targeting Mac or newer Android users, then yes, definitely go ahead and use it.
Okay. And to me, one of the most interesting things about the kind of modern web and the web as a platform is that you don't always have to wait for browsers to catch up. We were talking about this idea of using native script and Ionic in order to kind of supply some of those APIs that aren't necessarily available in the browsers, with the idea being that we can kind of boil everything down to ES5 as what's running on the virtual machine, but then we can really do much more kind of expressive and exciting things. What has your experience with those sorts of polyfills and those sorts of extensions where you take the web platform and you extend it out into other places where maybe it's not as far along?
Alex, do you want to take it first?
Yeah, sure. More and more nowadays, we are seeing higher or, polyfills in that are becoming available. For example, there's polyfill.io, which is great. And then we have what are kind of like the normal ways or the native ways that you can test for actual JavaScript features. Let me give an example. Here at Netflix, the UI team is about to start shipping ES6 code by being able to inject certain, let's say, ES6 functions or primitive in order to test whether those are available in the browser, and based on that, set a cookie and being able either to ship the ES5 or the ES6 version which, you know, without being transpiled, of course, would run way faster in the actual browser. Of course, one of the challenges of the, you know, browsers being able to support more and more features these days is being able to satisfy your audience, right? So you have to really think what is your audience, and if your audience actually needs certain features that are not yet supported by what they're usually running, you know, their browser and their OS. In the context of Web Bluetooth specifically, you know, when we started talking about Web Bluetooth, you know, a couple of years ago, maybe a few years ago, it seemed almost kind of like impossible, but now it's becoming more of a reality. And before, you know, you had to either use Canary, like you mentioned, or even turn on some flags on Chrome. Now we're starting to see a lot of apps and a lot of open source out there based on Web Bluetooth, not to mention like tons of articles, let's say by Google and even by Yuri. So really exciting.
And I mean, I always try and be both a idealist and a pragmatist. So one of the things that you mentioned is understanding your audience, because I imagine both of your projects are a little bit more focused on early adopters and curious developers now. So what do you see in terms of kind of the path that your projects could take towards becoming more general appeal or kind of mass audience?
Yeah, since this is a highly, you know, experimental project with newer JavaScript and being able to read and potentially interpret, you know, thoughts from the brain, from the human brain. Yeah, the audience, touching back to what you were saying, the audience can vary from like just people or developers that happen to know the language and for the first time have access to, you know, to capture things that are, you know, coming from our biology, right? So then you also have the audience of like, let's say, the medical industry and researchers. And let me give you an example. I've gotten emails from people trying to be able to interact with the headset, also using JavaScript and other technologies, asking me how to approach the situation. And it's very rewarding being able to point to a repo and say, just run this, and you'll see your brainwaves in real time in the browser. Another example, you know, I got in contact with someone from a hospital somewhere in the south in the United States about how he was able to run the project and reuse some of the code in order to create an application that allows doctors to see real-time neurofeedback from sensors placed around the eyes while the surgeons are performing eye surgery, basically making sure that the nerves and the, you know, everything else is kind of like working as they're actually performing the surgery. So then you can see like the impact that this can actually cause in human lives, and that's where my inspiration comes from, my passion comes from. It's like, what if we are able to diagnose some diseases way early in the process in a way that we can save lives, right? So I really want to get closer to people like me that are just, let's say, developers, and being able to give them the ability to contribute or offer this platform where they can use to contribute to kind of like a greater good, you know, something that has a lot of purpose and that can potentially help like their families or their friends' family and all of that. So I think going to places around the world, including Angie Cruz, is a great place, because then you tap into a community that is incredibly smart and collaborative, and those people are able to kind of like absorb from that and also share what we have now on our hands.
So hearing you describe the way that you hope developers will use Neuro.js, do you see it as a framework?
You know, ideally it would evolve to the point where it's an API that, you know, let's say an event-driven API that can capture, let's say, human emotions, body states, and so many other things. I'm not sure about exactly what to tell you about a platform, framework, library. It's going to be definitely, or my vision is to have an ecosystem of tools that are going to allow you to get to know yourself and other people better.
Okay.
Are at a neurological level.
So just coming from...
Can I add something?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
So as Alex was speaking, this is really inspiring, and I just got an idea of project, how we can connect both technologies. So one of the things I have been working with is smart light bulbs that are controlled through Bluetooth and controlling them using well Bluetooth. And you just got me thinking, if we could connect the BCI through the web to the bulb, I could easily create some kind of application that will let you turn on and off the light, like control the light with a blink of an eye. So that's really inspiring.
Yeah, that's actually very true, because the part of the brain that captures or that treats the vision, right? It's at the very back of your head, right? So the headset actually has two sensors that we could isolate, where we could potentially just pick up some of those signals that transfer into like blinks. But definitely the technology is there to capture the signals with JavaScript, and then to clean up the data, to isolate it, and also send it to the browser, and from there also control it. So yeah, very true. All of these things are possible, and I'm very excited to be showing an experiment that I've been working on.
This is also really exciting, because Alex and Uri, I've seen both of you guys give talks on these subjects, and you know, at a tech conference, I think, you know, you have the typical testing talks, you have, you know, just the basics, right? But then when you guys come on stage and you guys talk about the really cool things you guys can do, and I've seen you guys both speak at Angular-specific conferences and using Angular 2 with your projects. Like, Uri, it was so cool to see how you solved the fact that you were programming a Sorry game and there was no DOM. Right. And Alex, I mean, just you guys are really pushing the boundaries to what's actually possible in our industry.
Yeah, I'm really excited when you get to use a technology that actually challenges you to try to optimize better for browser or not, or no browser. That's when you really have to innovate. And that's where the best, let's say, side effects come from, that ends up in the community somehow and other people are benefiting from them.
How does it fit in, I wonder, Stephen, when you see these projects come up from the community, how does that fit into Angular's overall vision?
Oh, I think we love the more of these projects, the better. Because, I mean, just from my kind of biased perspective for being on the Angular team, I'm already imagining like a service that you import that you just say, hey, inject Neuro.js, and then maybe I get a set of observables for different emotions. And then I can say like, hey, if we hit a failure state and the user is frustrated, we treat it differently than if they hit a failure state and the user is happy and doesn't care, or it's like just a normal thing. And then you could use that as feedback into both kind of how you design your applications and how you treat the user. And I know that probably users aren't going to be hooking themselves up, but those same sorts of heuristics about like understanding the human brain, as soon as we can capture those and make them accessible to developers, I think that enriches a whole new way of building things. Because, I mean, it's kind of funny, like at Christmas, just a couple months ago, when I was meeting with my grandparents and talking about my job, it's all very theoretical, right? Like, we build web applications, we're building tools for building web applications. And that's a very abstract concept. But when you start adding kind of the humanity back to things, or when you start adding the physical world back to things, it makes it tangible, and it also almost makes it universal in a way that the web doesn't normally touch.
Absolutely.
So, Alex, are we going to try this thing with the bulb and the blink of an eye when we meet on AngularCourt?
Definitely, yeah. Absolutely. We should definitely do a hack session for that.
This is so cool. That sounds amazing. I was talking to, you know, I've been hanging out with Ben a lot and trying to immersed myself in RxJS and reactive programming. And he recently made this little project. He wrapped the Google voice recognition API in an observable, and then on the screen he would talk to the computer and say, drop a ball, and it would drop the ball. So like you guys talking about all these cool things, and then Stephen, the fact that observables are you guys are using RxJS in Angular. Does it make it easier to do like cool things like this and work with different technologies because of that?
I think it does, just because, I mean,
oh yeah,
I'm personally a big fan of RxJS because these concepts of this event stream, it really models the real world well, because
exactly
it's not just something that happens once or that you just want to check to see if this has happened. It's something that's going to continue to evolve and continue to change, whether it's NeuroJS and the status of your brain or the electrodes that are attached to your head. But I mean, I think that also plays well into IoT, right? Because imagine a world where you've got a web application that's acting as your central hub. You need to understand what's going on across a number of different devices, right? And if those are observables, then you can merge them and combine them in different ways, right? So like maybe I have a list of 60 different devices that can emit any new state at any time. And I want to pull in all the light bulbs, right? And I want to say, hey, when all the lights are turned off, then lock my doors or whatever.
Yeah,
very true. So why did you guys choose Angular specifically to experiment with these new technologies?
Why don't you start, Yuri? I've seen your projects, and the one mostly without DOM, it's pretty incredible.
Thank you. So, just to clarify, the question was, where do we use Angular in our projects, right?
More like, why did you choose Angular versus React, I guess? Or was there a specific reason, or is it just because that's what you've been using anyways?
Okay, so I think there are several reasons why I chose Angular. First of all, I know Angular, and I love Angular, and I love the team behind Angular. And Angular, I think, was really an enabler when I wanted to explore the possibility of creating something that could run either in the browser or on physical hardware. And that was because we have Angular Universal, which can already run Angular without DOM. And I just had to take this Angular Universal and build on the top of it some kind of a new way to connect the physical devices, in that case, the games of the buttons of a Simon game running on a Raspberry Pi with my Angular component. So just make those physical objects components in my application. Alex?
Yes, that's very true. In my case, a couple of reasons, but the first one being performance. So the way, whenever you're capturing brainwaves with the OpenBCI headset, you have a sample rate of 250 Hz, which just translates that you're going to be getting new set of data every 4 milliseconds, right? So when you get to treating data at that rate, that fast, and you need to display it in real time in the browser, a few things can happen, and that includes overwhelming the browser because of the communication that you have with the WebSocket, or then because you're updating the DOM just way faster than the browser can handle. Angular, in this context, really helped me a lot because the way that the unidirectional data flow and how fast you're able to update the DOM really solved a lot of problems for me, but also gave me the ability to create manual data visualizations, meaning even using the DOM itself, using data visualizations that are only controlled with the Angular, let's say, data binding. So that was, for me, gold right there. The other reason is because of the developer experience. I felt very comfortable in the ecosystem. And I feel very comfortable applying design patterns that Angular kind of like inspire you to work with, including RxJS and observables. So I try with many frameworks, with many combinations of libraries and no libraries, and ultimately Angular 2 was like at the very top. So that's why I went with Angular.
I have a technical question about how you guys have implemented these solutions, because one of the biggest pieces of news around right now is how IoT is fueling kind of DDoS attacks across the internet. So are you guys doing anything in particular to ensure that as you're integrating with these devices, that you're not introducing any new security vulnerabilities?
Security vulnerabilities, to what exactly?
I don't know. So, for example, you post a web-based dashboard for IoT, or let's say we do build this blinking integration to my controlling my light bulbs. There does have to be across internet traffic. Theoretically, there'd be a web-based dashboard. Are there any in particular security concerns that you guys are thinking about for that?
In my case, my top concern was actually about privacy and the fact that I was dealing with human brainwaves. And even though that it seems like very abstract right now and we might not be able to understand them completely, it's the fact that it could serve as a potential human fingerprint and what that means for the people, right? So currently, I've been trying to keep all experiments run locally. As far as security concerns, not really. Right now, the community has been very open, and both the hardware and the software for OpenBCI are open source. You can go to GitHub and you can see how the hardware is mostly, it's actually 3D printed, so you can actually get the files, 3D print them. You can see the software, what it's doing. It would be kind of like a holistic effort to see what security flaws you could find in hardware that is. And software that is open source that people are using and experimenting with. Of course, now when we're production ready, that would be a different type of question then.
You're scaring me a little bit because I've worn your headset, and now I'm picturing that like 10 years from now, you figure out how to actually read my thoughts using, and then like you see all the maybe inappropriate things I might have accidentally thought at the time.
Oh, I'm gonna clone you, man. Well, you said it right there.
As far as web Bluetooth, I can tell that there is a lot of security in mind when it comes to the web implementation. However, I think the problem lies with some of the devices that you can find in the market nowadays, like that light bulb that I mentioned before. It doesn't have any kind of security mechanism, so basically everyone in the same room as the bulb can simply connect to it and start controlling it. So I know that with the new release of Bluetooth 5.0, they are taking measures to improve the security, but I think the most important part would be to educate developers and the manufacturers of the devices about the possible issues and things they have to take care of in order to make sure that there are no security concerns in the devices themselves.
Yeah, and then I mean, I guess in my mind, I was thinking along the lines of like, let's say you build a web-based dashboard for controlling your lights. What if you don't have XSRF protection in place, and then someone puts a PNG that points to your crafted URL on your site that now like turns off your lights or deletes your access to your Google Home, or I don't even know what. But it sounds like most of the security problems that you guys are seeing and thinking about are really at the hardware level, where most of the vulnerabilities lie.
Yeah, I think we like have a lot of experience in the web community where it comes to security, and we know about CSRF, XSS, HTTP, man in the middle, and all of that stuff. So I think the community is mature enough and is aware of the possible places where there can be secure weak points in regards to security, and then when we shift from the web to the actual hardware, that's where I see most of the problems as of today.
That's a great point.
Okay. One of the strengths of Angular is the way that it dependency injection allows you to mock out things for testability. Are you guys doing any sort of mocking as you build your applications in order to kind of say, hey, let's make sure that the interfaces and the controls that I'm building work even when I'm not attached to hardware so that you can have a scaled kind of reproducible, testable application?
In my case, the testing has been more at the, let's say, on getting the actual data from the headset. And I've been working with some people that have been the actual ones that have built the Node library that allows you to, you know, receive the data in a very clean and intuitive way. No tests on the Angular side yet, but definitely tests and mocks at the Node level in order to try to mimic what natural brainwaves would look like or be like, right? So you don't have to wear the headset while you're developing at all times.
Or is that something you're thinking about yet?
Yes. So to be honest, in my projects that involve IoT, I don't really test my code using unit tests. For me, it's like a good perk to test them in the browser, like having a version that can run in the browser and one that can run on the physical device. It does make my life a lot of easier being to just use tools like Chrome DevTools and being able to have hot reloading when I develop. And I think it already makes a big difference for me in contrast with just coding on the physical hardware and debugging with console logs or just uploading a new version of the code each time to the hardware. So right now I don't even have to test my code in order to benefit from this model of developing one code base that powers both a web application and a physical device.
Very nice. Have you heard of Particle, a company that makes IoT hardware?
Yes.
Okay. I really like their interface because if I recall correctly, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, basically you can write your firmware within their web interface, and then you hit save, and then it ships it down to the hardware, and then loads it as firmware. So you're using a web-based IDE to write basically JavaScript that then runs on a mobile local device, a very low power, low CPU device. Am I telling that story right?
Pretty much, yes. There are I think with Particle, you're actually writing in C. The last time I checked, they just used let you write Arduino code, which is written in C or C++. But then there are other platforms that let you write JavaScript and deploy it either over the cloud or over web Bluetooth directly to the device. And I think that's amazing. That's what I want to see, where I want to see this develops, being able as a JavaScript developer to open a web page, type some JavaScript code or probably copy it from Stack Overflow or something. And then just hit upload and get this code running on my device instantly and communicate with it, whether it would be over web Bluetooth or Wi-Fi. Honestly, as a web developer, I don't want to care about those details. I want to just take the idea that I have in my mind, turn it into code, send it somehow into the device, and have the device somehow communicate with a web browser. So ideally, I wouldn't want to see web Bluetooth, web NFC, web Wi-Fi, web whatever. I would want to see one day just a web connected stuff, web IoT, that would just take care of making the connection with the device, programming it, transferring data without me having to worry about the internals of Bluetooth, such as services and characteristics. We are not there yet, but I hope one day.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
So it's interesting that you're pushing the frontiers of the web with web Bluetooth so much, but at the same time, you want to see web Bluetooth go away already. You're already sick of it.
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of the state of JavaScript, right? Like, we build these awesome, amazing tools, and then within a month or within 6 months, it's how do I build something a little bit higher level? How do I abstract this away so that I can focus on maybe this idea of more pure forms, right?
Yeah.
Are there any players in that space right now that you think people should pay attention to? In terms of abstracting those or making it easy to distribute IoT JavaScript code?
So there are several devices that can already run JavaScript code. And I think one notable project is Esperino, which is British guy, I think his name is William Gordon, which have developed a small Bluetooth low energy board that can run JavaScript. And it created a web IDE that lets you upload new code to the device over web Bluetooth. This is really cool. It's like it's still working on it and improving it all the time. I think the board is called Pack.js. And there is also a JavaScript engine called JerryScript by Samsung, which is also popular. And one of the projects I'm currently working on actually is trying to build my own device that would allow running, eventually will run JavaScript code. And the cool thing about a device, and maybe that's another answer to why I choose Angular for my project, is that the shape of the device is actually going to be the Angular logo. So it turns out the Angular logo has great colors and shapes for just PCB, printed circuit board manufacturing. So that's a project I'm working on. And it's called ngBeacon. It's basically the Angular logo with a microcontroller that speaks Bluetooth low energy attached to it. And I hope that at some point you will also be able to use the same tools to program it using JavaScript.
That's awesome.
That is I would get that day one as soon as you have a prototype ready, because I actually carry around in my backpack a Bluetooth physical web beacon at all times, pointing to the Angular.io website. So if you're ever at a conference with me and you run an Android phone and it pops up and it says, Angular.io.
Oh, nice.
That's me. That's my fault.
So next time we meet, you will have the same thing, but with the shape of the Angular logo.
Awesome. And then hopefully I can reprogram it on the fly using JavaScript.
At some point, yes. You know, Alex and Tracy, I'm also going to give you one of the first prototypes. So whenever we meet ngCruise or any other conference, you get one from me.
Awesome. Thank you.
That's awesome. Wow, this was... I have to say that you guys are probably some of the most inspiring people in the Angular community, if not the JavaScript community, with the cool things you guys are working on. It really makes me want to start playing with all the things that you guys do. I just, I have to learn native script and Polymer and material design and... like a billion other things before. But Uri, you inspired me to actually get one of the Raspberry Pis to start messing around. So I'll have to figure out. Actually, we should probably talk to Ben and figure out how he can just like wrap everything in observables and like connect it and make us do weird things. I told Ben I wanted to do a project where we could take a camera and then look out into the audience and it would like play music based on colors. But I was trying to ask him to do it with the voice recognition API. He's like, Tracy, it doesn't work that way.
That's not what that does.
Yeah. So amazing. Alex, where can we find you on the internet, on Twitter?
Twitter, I am Castillo__IO.
I am Stephen Fluin, StephenFluin.
Just my name, Uri Shaked.
Very cool. So guys, follow all of these guys on the internet. They're very open to asking questions and receptive about things. I hope to see some cool collaborations now that you guys have had a chance to talk about these things. My name's Lady Leet. You can follow me at Lady Leet on Twitter. And one other plug actually is Stephen and I have been putting together Angular Contributor Days, which is happening right after ngconf. It's going to be on April 8th. So you can actually go to contributordays.com and apply if you guys are interested in hearing a little bit more about Angular and how to contribute to the ecosystem. So, by the way, Stephen, I just launched that, I think, this morning. I know there's a PR for it. I'm not sure if it's actually merged yet, but yay!
Awesome. Hooray!
All right, guys. Well, thank you. Thank you so much again. And we'll see you at ngConf, ngCruise, and hopefully at some other events.
Thank you for having us.
NG fan.
Awesome. See you guys soon.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening. To find more podcasts, videos, and online conferences, check out modern-web.org or find us on Twitter at modernweb_. See you around the internet. Yeah!